What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording. It's a Thursday night. It's June 26th, and we are recording episode 257. It's another summer six-pack, our second six-pack of this summer. We had another couple weeks where things just didn't work out for us to record, so sorry for the pause between episodes, but we're back on the mics tonight to discuss another six topics in sports world, mostly Red Raider world, maybe a few other topics that'll keep us interested this summer. The sports are done right now besides baseball. NBA Finals coming to a conclusion, Texas Tech softball run coming to a conclusion, College World Series being over. So it's that dull time of the year. So we've got six topics and maybe an extra shot at the end to discuss. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, our first beer in the summer six pack for this week. I know it's been a few weeks since the conclusion of the Texas Tech softball team season has come to an end, but we haven't yet been able to discuss it. So we're going to look back at a memory that a little bittersweet as the Lady Raiders fall to the Texas Longhorns in the national championship game three. Texas took game one. Well, the ladies bounce back in game two to win and force the decisive game three. And then in game three, Nyjah just didn't have it after pitching two stressful games. Came out a little flat. Texas jumped on her early, and ultimately that was enough to get the job done and get them the win and win the national championship. The Texas Tech softball team falling a bit short of the national championship. Dustin, I know it's been a few weeks now. We've had a little bit of time to live with it, reflect on it. What's your thoughts when you think back to the College World Series and the Red Raiders' performance in the College World Series?
I mean, it was still a great run. You got to the final game of the season, and yeah kind of like you said, you just kind of ran out of gas with Nyjah. I mean, looking back, you would say that the money was worth it, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
You went from a under 500 team and your coach leaving to bringing in a really good coach and some transfers and the best player and ending up just a few outs, few runs away from a national championship and a great run, Big 12 title, like a bunch of firsts and records for this team. So, yeah, the end goal was a bit disappointing, but overall a huge, huge, great success. And like, I was kind of worried about that with Nyjah in game three, especially after like the same team seeing her three straight days. If it was a different team, you know, in there, maybe not as worrisome, but the same team, same hitters, three straight days, they kind of start catching on or start sitting on stuff. And hey, first inning, they were just ready for it, and they just kind of sheltered to begin with, and we kind of knew it was done from there. And everybody else seemed a little off at that point as well, too. So, but yeah, overall, great success still.
Yeah, great success. The little jarring to see Nyjah give up five runs in the first and just immediately be down like that. So I know it was probably tough to bounce back from that. But yeah, I agree. Like, seeing her for three straight times, you're going to start getting a read on her pitches and kind of figure things out. And, you know, it's not like she was just pitching like a regular game either. These were high-stakes game, high-stakes pitches. Every pitch kind of was a leverage situation. And so it's a little bit different circumstances than pitching like three straight games in the Big 12 regular season. And so it's kind of where you felt the need for another pitcher to be able to come in and maybe have started game two like what Texas did, let the batters not see her for a little bit. But
and that's what worried me too, is I knew Texas played their ace on game one, was able to rest their game two, and then throughout game three, and it's like, well, that's gonna be tough to beat already. We already couldn't beat her the first time, so like,
She's a great pitcher.
Yes.
too. So, you felt like they kind of might have had the advantage, but you were hoping that your superstar, Nijah, might be able to do it and just wasn't in the cards. And so, it's kind of like a big what if, because you have in game one the big what if you can successfully intentionally walk a batter, how the circumstances of this series play out. And instead, Nijah, not familiar with it seemed like our whole team was unfamiliar with how to intentionally walk a player.
That was a bad blunder.
That just made you feel
sick
to your stomach.
Great awareness on Texas's part in that hitter.
Yeah, it was just like the first three pitches were all real close. They're like, what are we doing? Why are we throwing it over the plate?
One of them was even a strike.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, he just called that a ball because we were supposed to be throwing balls.
Yeah.
Which, I get that call. But, that was probably the only thing that I really like kind of looked back on. And you're like, man, what the hell went on there? Like, did the catcher not know? Does nobody just know how to do an intentional walk on that situation and that you don't want to put it anywhere near the plate? So that it was frustrating to lose game one that way, but then to fight back, win game two, force the, game three. Just looking back on it, really proud of these girls and what they did this season. It's quite the accomplishment, quite the ride that they took Red Raider Nation on. They had Patrick Mahomes in the stadium watching them. Every
got some sweet letter jackets and
some
gear.
Sweet gear. And the most watched college women's softball College World Series ever. Like the numbers on it were huge. So when you look back,
my last thing was the women's College World Series averaged more viewers than the men's College World Series. 1.3 versus 1.2.
And I saw a tweet the other day that was like, still the most watched basketball game in history is like our national championship game versus Virginia. Texas Tech brings out the viewers. So that's just cool because that's just a bunch of free pub for Texas Tech University that you got from these games. And then not to mention all the stuff that we're going to talk about in take number two of this six pack.
Let's get into that because I'm pumped for that.
Real impressive season from these ladies, really proud of them and what the effort that they gave for Texas Tech and taking us to the brink of the national championship. It's always sad to not get it done, but this team will be remembered as legends for forever here in Lubbock, Texas, because of what they were able to do. They got a big celebration for it. People showed up to the Rocky to celebrate them. And then let's go ahead and shift over to beer number two of the six pack, which is the softball portal class. The Texas Tech softball team was not wasting any time after losing in the national championship. You got Nijah already locked in for one more year, another seven-figure deal, which you won't see not mentioned ever in when Texas Tech is playing softball. They got to mention it, I think, once an inning is their requirement.
Two?
Even though they don't talk about that with any other men's sports, which has been brought up often. But when you're that close to winning a national championship, you just need some of the right pieces, maybe a few offensive players, maybe another pitcher to spell Nijah a little bit, make sure she has enough gas in the tank for a national championship run. What do? You've got big donors and a last opportunity to go out and spend a lot of money. And that's exactly what they did. You haul in what is probably maybe the best softball portal class ever that I've seen some people saying. It's definitely the number one class this year. And so you start off by landing Jasmine Burns. I think this happened like right after. It was like the weekend after. Jasmine Burns, All-American catcher from Ohio State. She had 25 home runs last year, so there's immediately an offensive weapon inserted into the lineup.
That's more than your team combined, I think, last year.
Yeah, your leading home run hitter was Nijah with 11. then you also bring in All-American Mia Williams. This name is cool for a lot of basketball fans because she's the daughter of White Chocolate Jason Williams, who is a NBA legend in a lot of people's eyes. And so she commits to Texas Tech, an All-American second baseman from Florida. Jackie Lease, a three-time first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference player, has 44 home runs in her career. Caitlin Terry, probably the biggest haul out of the portal for the Red Raiders. I think I saw her as high as the number third overall player or number two overall player in some places in this portal class from UCLA. So one of the teams that you beat in the tournament. She comes in. She's a pitcher outfielder. She was 20-5 as a pitcher last season. So I'm sure she'll be used both in the outfield and as a pitcher. Taylor Pannell, the All-American third baseman from Tennessee, 16 homers last season, also batted .398. Desiree Spearman, a pitcher outfielder from New Mexico State, Conference USA Freshman of the Year last year. And then the latest pickup, Laggy Quiroga? I get that right. Catcher, utility player from California, all ACC last season. That's quite the portal haul there, Dustin.
Yeah, this came fast and furious the week after the national championship as the house settlement was getting agreed upon. We kind of got tipped off that people went to work ahead of time and got some deals done before restrictions got put on. And yeah, softball's not messing around. We got three All-Americans coming to our team from last year to go with the best pitcher and player in the league. And so that's incredible. Like, you brought pitching depth. So yeah, like Caitlin Terry and Desiree Spearman, they can help carry that pitching load, especially like early on in conference time. You don't want to wear Nyjah out too much, like let them pitch and develop some more. But yeah, bringing in three All-Americans, couple that were at I almost said Omaha at Oklahoma City this last year. So bringing in some playoff experience as well. And yeah, you brought bombers too. Like said, Jackie Lewis, 44 career home runs, Jasmine Vernons, 25 just last year.
I had to look at that three times. Year. I had to look at that three times. I was like, wait, just last year, 25.
Like, the second baseman from Florida, she can hit really well is also, the other kind of caveat, this isn't like what football did where we kind of loaded up on a lot of seniors. These are pretty young players that have multiple years available. I don't have all that in front of me right now, but I just remember running across that as we were bringing them in. And it's like Caitlin Terry, she's was only a freshman last year. Like, we have multiple years of her. So like having multiple years for these girls to either stay together, play with Jerry Glasgow, keep building this program and fan base up, like that's huge as well. Like not just being a big one and done type team and program.
Yeah, you love like that. We have the fan base and we have the donors that just want to capitalize on a moment like this, because it's so important, I think, to ride the momentum that this program has. And I think it's really impressive that as soon as the season's over, you saw how close you were. You're just like, let's go get, we need offensive players and we need pitchers. You knew exactly what you need. You got the motivation to do it and you get the jobs done. You know, these players were like purportedly ready to go like pretty quickly. And you got them here, you got them into Lubbock, and you know, you don't let them leave just like you did with football. is the same kind of thing. A lot of people mad at Texas Tech because we can spend money. I love it. Sorry, your school sucks at it. Our school realized there's an opportunity here and you got the donors with the motivation to do it. Sorry, not sorry. What do you want us to do? It's not against the law. It's perfectly legal, everything that we did. There's no rules against tampering. I believe it has to be through the agent. I believe the agent of these players was the ones to reach out. And if you're not reaching out to Texas Tech on behalf of your players, you're a shitty agent. Because what are your job as an agent? To get them the best deal possible? Money. Yeah, get the money. Where's the money at? It's at Texas Tech.
That week was hilarious on Twitter watching Oklahoma fans on their, you know, softball high horse acting like they're too good for transfers and tampering. Like, that's what you've done for the last however many years.
And how many straight natties did y'all win? Because that was great for the sport too, right? Y'all just like dominating. Why do you think this was the most watched College World Series?
Yeah. Couple transfers, like, oh, great. Like, they're, yeah.
It was just before money was brought into the really into the sport, so nobody really talked about it. But
yeah, I mean, Tennessee fans and coaches got mad about it. Former coach of this place, funny how that works out. And Florida fans were a little mad, but not as much as Oklahoma and Tennessee fans. They just found out what tampering was out of just now.
They were like, "Wait, what?" UCLA fans were a little in there too. So yeah, you took out like a lot of the, you know, prestige of softball by doing this, but you know, it pissed them off. Like, I'm glad, you know, we're going to have a big target on our backs this season. And so, you know, same with football. It's kind of like, hey, we're spending all this money. There's going to be a lot of eyes on the program to see how it plays out. There's obviously a kind of a national championship or bust type thing that you're going for here, but you know, you've got the best pitcher in softball, and now you're just loading up with, not to mention the returners that you're having with Lauren Allred, Mia Davis, Lauren Alanis. Like, you're going to be stacked with not only just the players you have, but these ladies that you're bringing in. It's going to be one hell of a season next year for this softball team. Yep. I would expect us to be back in the softball World Series. And if everything plays out the way that it should, you're going to have an opportunity to win a natty again next year.
No doubt.
So, exciting times to be a Texas Tech softball fan. Exciting times to be a Texas Tech fan as we are taking advantage of this NIL deal. And so it's been quite fun to watch, but we'll keep monitoring. Who knows if there's more players on their way to join the softball squad. There's, of course, some ladies that are hitting the portal as well as more talent comes in. So,
That's going to be part of it. You know, some part of your younger ones that were hoping to get their chance, get covered up by another All-American coming in. Like,
another All-American.
I get it if you don't want to wait around for your time to play.
Yeah, and you know, you got some good tape out there. I think Bailey Lindemuth, you know, played third baseman for us all year. You know, she hits the portal. She's got a lot of good tape, so she's going to find a good landing spot. Several of these players are going to do that, so. Shout out to them for having a great season, and we respect them, and hopefully they all find some good landing spots. But excited to see these new ladies suit up in the red and black and see what they can do this next season. Speaking of next seasons, one season has gotten extremely difficult for schedule wise for the basketball program. So let's crack open beer number 3 and head to the hardwood. Well, one of the topics that we've discussed at length on this podcast over years is basketball scheduling. More specifically about scheduling for home games.
That didn't get fixed.
that has not been fixed. We will still be paying decent money and not getting a good home game until January, like every season. But next season, we got Illinois coming to town. But the Red Raiders have loaded up in the non-conference this year, scheduling a home and home with Illinois. So this year, Red Raiders heading out to Illinois to face off with the Illini in the TJ Shannon game. We've got neutral site games scheduled with Duke at Madison Square Garden, with LSU at Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, and the newest neutral side game, a non-conference meeting with Arkansas, a rematch of last year's Sweet 16 with the Arkansas Razorbacks in Dallas at the American Airlines Center. And then another addition is you're playing in the Bahamar tournament, and you're playing Wake Forest. With the hopes of what everybody in basketball world will be rooting for is a matchup with Purdue if you're able to go in and beat Wake Forest. Now, we've seen us go in and stumble in the tournaments in some of these games before and not get those much anticipated matchups. If Memphis is the other team that's going to Bahamar. So you've loaded up in the non-conference schedule, and then the men's Big 12 schedule has been announced of who the teams that you're playing. Texas Tech's home opponents this year will be Cincinnati, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, and Utah. Our away opponents, Arizona State, Baylor, UCF, Iowa State, West Virginia. And the teams that you get both home and away, you get BYU and Houston, who are going to be two of the top teams in the conference with the number one overall prospect coming to BYU and Houston being Houston, and then Colorado thrown in there. So this season is going to be, we upped the difficulty by quite a bit. We went from what, varsity to Heisman mode.
Yeah,
this non-conference schedule. So real quick, your thoughts on the non-conference first, and then we'll kind of get into the Big 12 conference side of things.
Yeah, this was great scheduling. You've been seeing a lot more of this starting last year, but a lot more this year of teams playing better teams, whether it be home and home or neutral site. You know, some programs are still scared to go do home and home for whatever reason. But hey, if you can still get these games like Duke and Arkansas, and who were playing in Fort Worth?
LSU.
I couldn't put my map together and figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, even if you can still do those, especially for us, like, that's still a regional game.
Yeah,
home base for alumni. So, yeah, like, that's a great spot for us. We've done the Duke in New York thing before, and it works out pretty well. Just people traveling for that. So, I like it a lot. The Illinois one is obviously what we want to see. They're coming here, yes, you know, in 26, in another year. But to go up there when they're going to be good again and have a great coach and have been a good program. Like, these are all really good games to schedule.
Yeah.
Now, why do you do that? Well, it helps your RPI, your net rating, all those things when tournament time comes around. You don't get as crushed that we have found out from quad one losses.
Yeah, you'll get respected more for trying in the non-conference season than you will for just winning a bunch of games.
Now, if you go to Dallas and get blown out by 30 to Arkansas, they look at that. Yeah. If you lose by 5, you do not. Like, okay, they're on the same level. That's all they see at that is. Because Arkansas was exactly one of these teams that is the example of playing a good schedule and maybe losing some early, and then coming on hot late, and you get the benefit of the doubt. And so
Kansas is kind of like the reverse of that, where they started off the season great.
Yes.
And they had a great non-con, and then in Big 12 conference, they faltered. But the reason why they kept getting, like, why are we seeing them as a 5 seed? Why are we still seeing them as a 6 seed when they had been struggling? Because they had a good non-con. They won some important games in the non-conference season. And so, like, one, if you're able to win some of these games, you're going to set yourself up for a better seed if for some reason you find it, like, kind of struggle or hit some bumps. But also, if you have a great season, a great Big 12 season, and win some of these games, you're going to set yourself up for a higher seed in the NCAA tournament.
That's the other, like, really good point that I saw about this is you're not just scheduling tough games to schedule tough games and make your team better. Like, yes, you are, but you're scheduling these games to be one of the top seeds in the tournament.
Yeah.
Not just a good seed, like top
one,
eight,
two.
One or two seed. Yeah. You want to have these good regionals or second weekend matchups and locations. And that's what this does for you.
You know, last few off seasons or last few non-conference seasons, there's been very little to get excited about. I mean, last year, the thing that we were most excited about was the opportunity that we might have gotten to play Texas, and then of course you go out and lose to St. Joe's, and so you don't get to play Texas. So, you know, you haven't had a lot of non-conference games to look forward to in the last several years, and you've got three ones immediately that you know are going to happen with Duke, Illinois, and Arkansas that are going to be three great games that are going to be really fun to watch. And then you have the possibility of Purdue sitting out there as well, who could be, you know, one of the, you know, number one, number two in the country whenever you play them. So
yes,
it's big swings. Hopefully we have some hits off of it and don't strike out, because the alternative of this is maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, and, you know, you lose some of these games and then you set yourself back, and you really got to have a good Big 12 conference season, where your Big 12 conference season, to me, it doesn't get much easier. Not that the Big 12 conference season is ever easy, but I really think scheduling wise, you kind of got screwed with the home and home and home opponents, getting BYU and Houston, which kind I think at the start of the season are going to be the three of the top three teams in the conference, possibly. So I think that's tough. And then, you know, obviously getting Kansas here, I find good, but you know, you got to go to Arizona, you got to go to Baylor, got to go to West Virginia, Iowa State. Like those are going to be some tough trips. So what are your thoughts on the Big 12 scheduling side of things?
I think the Big 12 screwed their top five teams in this.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going. Yeah, I think they're definitely going for how can we get the most excitement out of these like four or five teams that we deem are going to be like the top of the conference.
And like, because if you look at the top five teams, Houston got screwed with two really tough matchups. BYU got two really tough matchups. Kansas got two really tough matchups. We did. And Arizona's has like, they basically just like circled all five of those teams together.
Yeah. And we're like, play each other.
And so it's like, what the hell is this? Like, I get, okay, you gave us Colorado, who's probably the last team in the conference this year. Great.
Yeah.
That's not cool to give us 1 and 2, though. When we're yeah. like, you, and I think I texted this in the group. I'm trying to remember exactly how I framed it. Because whatever your mark said about it, it's not what they came out with. Like, you should have done one top type TV matchup, which is what he was kind of saying. One regional-ish matchup. I guess you're going to say Houston for that, but you shouldn't have to do both a top and a regional deal.
Yeah.
And then another just other team type deal to even it out. It's like it should have been more like, give us Houston or BYU, and then give us Oklahoma State or TCU, yes. and then give us Colorado.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, I think you got to even out that second spot better.
Yeah, I think it should have been Houston, TCU, or Baylor maybe in that spot, even though Baylor's tough, but at least.
But like we should have had Oklahoma State, Baylor, yeah. or TCU Oklahoma, as our yeah. like regional matchup.
Regional, yeah. I don't view Houston as regional.
I don't either.
Yet, but
you could stretch it to that if you really wanted yeah. to.
Obviously, I want Houston on the schedule twice. I think this is like maybe becoming the premier matchup basketball of the rivalry. Conference. Yeah. Like it definitely had its moments last year. So I'm glad that they're on the schedule twice. I don't want to just play them once at Houston. I want to get them at home every year. That's going to be probably your biggest home games. So I'm good with that. It's the BYU doesn't make any sense to me other than, you know, they think that both of these teams are going to be great.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, I'm glad we get them here because I would like to be able to see, I'm not even going to try to say his name, Dabenga or whatever his name is.
Can't remember it either. No.
It'll be cool to, yeah, it'll be cool to see him, but I'm just kind of mad that we have to go there and play them again. But yeah, Colorado, I'm indifferent. Like, I'm not going to be excited about playing them. Twice either way, like that doesn't bring out any excitement, but
two wins,
but you need some wins. So but yeah, thought it was interesting. But yeah, Big 12 obviously going for, hey, these are the best teams in the conference, let's load them up and get some prime, well, as many prime time games as we yeah. can out of this and see what happens. So it'll be a tough schedule for the Red Raiders, but if all things fall in the right place, you win a lot of these games, you're going to set yourself up really well for the NCAA tournament. And seems like this might be the way with Coach McCaslin here is really upping those non-conference schedules. Cause you know, conference games going back down to 18, obviously not being guaranteed like to play all of the teams twice. Some teams can have down seasons in the conference that can hurt your schedule. So trying to get these non-conference games up and challenge yourself there. You know, a lot of teams are starting to do this. It took Texas Tech a little while to get in the mix yep. of doing it. But so, yeah, it's going to be a fun Texas Tech hoop season. Lots to look forward to there. And, of course, as the actual Big 12 conference schedule comes out with dates and everything, we'll rediscuss that and kind of see. We always like to take a look and see where things fall into place for the Red Raiders there. Back to an 18-game season for Big 12 basketball. But we've got another general college topic to talk about. So let's crack open beer number 4. Well, the House settlement came to a conclusion a couple weeks ago. There's been something that's been out there for a while, but nothing had been, it was going to keep getting pushed. It was keep getting pushed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's done. It's finalized. And so the House settlement is basically trying to stop the wild west of NIL deals where the Texas Techs of the world can just dish out all sorts of money to players. And now revenue sharing has been introduced where each team gets $20.5 million to distribute all amongst all of their sports. Now, NIL still can be incorporated in your programs. Players can still get NIL deals, but they have to go through a clearinghouse and be approved by the NCAA. That will go well, I'm sure. But ultimately, trying to contain the wild, wild west of what NIL has been since it's been introduced. Dustin, your thoughts on the House settlement and it actually coming, you know, into play here, what, July 1st? So just a few days away.
Yeah. As Texas Tech, we did not want this now that our big donors were starting to shell out money for games and wins and whatnot.
Yeah.
And now we got to follow some rules and whatnot. So it kind of goes back to where it was, but now with an even playing field, you can distribute your money, your $20 million, how you want to through your athletic department. You've already seen some schools cut programs. I've seen some track programs cut field events and go just to running.
Yeah. Some Washington State.
Just getting rid of stuff altogether.
Program. Yeah.
So that's going to start affecting a lot more than people think, I bet.
Yeah, there's going to be schools that struggle to maintain some of these programs, even bigger programs. I know Iowa State's AD was talking about, like, it's going to be really hard for them to keep this rev share up. That's $25 million is a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, and it's going to get tough for a lot of programs out there, so that kind of sucks. But we got a lot of deals done, you know, at that before this came down the line. So I guess we had some hints that it would. So backdated those or whatever they had to do to throw money to these. I don't think we have any baseball, couple of high school football maybe, and a lot of softball, really.
Yeah, some basketball. Football was like a lot of front-loaded contracts where it's like, hey, we're giving you this money now. So
kind of on an even playing field for those who are willing to go for all that. Now it's going to be weird who wants to pay. Obviously, Texas Tech has said they're going to pay about like $15 million to football and then another good chunk to basketball. And then kind of whatever else with the little bit that's left.
Yeah.
But that's where you're making money as well. So it makes sense to put in money to those to try to make money back on the other end from fans and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, this isn't a like end all be all thing. I think it just gives the NCAA some time to breathe without it being the wild west of free agency pay to play as it was the last few years. So, we'll see what happens in a few years with this.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how it all plays out. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, how many lawsuits are going to happen because of this. There's already some women's athletes that were filed some lawsuits against this. You know, certain players, it's like, hey, I've been making $4 million. Who's to tell me that I'm not worth that?
Exactly.
Anymore?
Like JT Talkman couldn't get this $4 million deal next year.
Yeah.
That'd be all the money we have for basketball or less.
So, but I'm so curious how the NIL part of it's still going to work because, you know, the thing about Texas Tech that I've been really proud of in this whole NIL transfer portal era is it just seems like we've been ready for it the entire time. Yep. And so I know we're ready for this and we'll be able to figure out how to get this done. I think a way that's going to allow players to continue to play and not draw any suspicion. I think we're going to be able to get that done. But, you know, from my understanding of this is that we spent all of our money, all our NIL stuff, so we can hold on to this rev share and use it later on, not like right now, use it later on. Yes. And then when the next rev share kicks in, we basically have like double money on it. I think I don't know how it's all going to work, but I know that's why they were trying so hard to get deals done, deals signed, was, hey, let's get this done before the rev share kicks in. That way we've spent all this money and then we have all this rev share to spend that we don't have to, because we've already paid out all these players and their salaries.
Right. Yes, I've thought about that too, and I'm like, we're a season ahead of the payroll.
So, like, honestly, it was a really smart deal, but, you know, I'm sure we're going to find a way to remain competitive, like, with the people that we have, the donors we have, Cody Campbell. Like, I Texas Tech is here to stay. I don't think just because of rev share, we're just going to disappear all of a sudden. But it is a really interesting look. There was an article written by Sheehan. I can't say his last name, but it's on CBS Sports, and it was really interesting about the football program and them going all in on this like 1 year, because it's the last chance that you really have to kind of do this. And so, you know, it will be interesting to see how this all plays out this year and then into next year if Texas Tech's able to kind of maintain keeping these players and everything. But ultimately, college sports is always changing. We'll see what happens with the house settlement now intact, rev share intact, how that all affects schools and programs and how things will move on going forward. So excited to have a little bit of control to this.
A little bit, yes.
I'm not going to lie. Like some of it was getting pretty ridiculous, but hey, when Texas Tech's at the forefront of it, I'm not going to be too upset. So wanted to get that in since that was approved and will be a part of college sports moving forward. So thought it was important to talk about, but we got two more beers left before we get out of here. Let's crack open beer number 5 and talk about the NBA. Well, the NBA regular season came to a conclusion earlier this week. The Oklahoma City Thunder winning their first NBA championship in a Game 7 over the Indiana Pacers. That game just completely was ruined for me after Tyrese Halliburton tore his Achilles. It's the postseason of torn Achilles, as Tyrese Halliburton became the third player in the Eastern Conference Finals to tear their Achilles in this postseason. Brutal to watch. That was just in the first quarter. Pacers were playing well. Tyrese Halliburton was playing well. Looked like we were going to get a great Game 7. And then, unfortunately, just a little bit too much. And not enough TJ McConnell, even though he was quite fun to watch this finals. He just couldn't do all the carrying. And the Pacers fall short. Oklahoma City wins. Dustin, your thoughts on the Thunder winning their first first NBA championship. Sorry, still stuck in college mode.
They are that young, though.
Yeah, they all could be in college.
They could have played with Auburn this year and been younger.
Yeah.
It was a great series. Like I predicted beforehand, we started with this before the series even started. But I was like, Oklahoma City Pacers is going to be a great matchup. Flying. He even had Pacers steal game one out from under him.
Another Hallie shot.
And it's like Halliburton has one of the best postseason's clutchness ever. Like many moments. And then to kind of go out that way was very disheartening. We all knew it.
Immediately.
Yeah. I even kind of hinted to you a couple of days before, like, this is exactly what Kevin Durant did. Like, had a sore calf or strained calf. And then you start putting more pressure on different body parts when you have one that's injured and pop. And boom. Now he's out all next year. So that kind of sucks. Like right when you're in your prime and your team is good. That sucks for the Pacers. So, but yeah, Oklahoma City, great for them. Cause I mean, they're looking at a dynasty now, like with how young they are.
Yeah.
In like 2 years, a lot of contracts coming up. They can basically run this back next year, though, and see what happens. And so before you got to pay Jay Will and Chet from that draft, like you have these guys locked and loaded and ready to go and now have all the experience. The MVP's coming back better than ever. Like they're going to be a wagon for another couple of years at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting times if you're a Thunder fan because – Yeah, they rebuilt this thing faster than I thought. A lot of people thought it was going to be. Sam Presti once again turning a shit into a championship worthy team. This time they were able to keep it intact and win the championship. But yeah, you got all these guys really young right now. I think a couple pieces they're going to have to lose, but they've got guys who are ready to step up. Like Lou Dort might be gone, but Cason Wallace is like there to be replace him, and then. You know, they got a guy who didn't even play this
year.
Topic, like he's waiting to come on. And then they got other draft picks. So they just kind of are going to be able to keep this thing going as long as they keep like J-Dub, Shea, and Chet. Like they're just going to kind of be able to keep rotating these young pieces in if they keep hitting and be a pretty successful dynasty here. And so it's good for them. Sad to see the Pacers go out that way. That hard fought, really fun postseason. They'll be remembered all time for this postseason run. Sucks for Halliburton. Like, man, it was brutal. Just kind of ruined watching the rest of that game for me because it looked we were going to get an all time game seven. And then you just kind of rest the time you're thinking, did OKC just get away with it here, not having to beat the Pacers at their fullest. So that always kind of ruins it. Nobody likes seeing a team like win that way. You want to see them have to beat the best, but you know, it is what it is. And now in the Eastern Conference, and you're kind of seeing it. You've got Jason Tatum who's lost for next year. And you got Halliburton who's lost for next year. Dame's lost for next year. There's room to try to make a run. And see, hey, why not us? Maybe the Hawks, who think that maybe they can make a run. The 76ers could be right back. The Knicks, this could be their chance. I feel like it's going to be interesting offseason for Eastern Conference teams to try to load up and see, hey, can we go?
Where does Giannis go? This is going to be.
And now for the Bucks, you're like, shit, we got Giannis. We should just keep him. Like, he's going to be the best player in the East this year, right? Like, so. Why not keep them and see, hey, maybe we can make a run this year. We don't have to go through Boston. We don't have to go through Indiana, really. We could just kind of have to, you know, maybe the East goes through us if we have Giannis and can find some other pieces. Or maybe another team tries to go. Like, if you're a Western Conference guy who might get traded, or like, get me to the East. Maybe I can load up with one of these guys and go on a run. Because the West is still freaking loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Durant stays in the Western Conference. He goes from the Suns to the Rockets, aging 37-year-old Kevin Durant now to Houston. Interesting trade move for the Rockets, who believe that they are one of the best teams. They had the 2 seed last year, so why not try to make a run at it this year with Kevin Durant? Some offense, that's what they needed, a guy who can be their clutch scorer, so they add that. Nico Harrison, the dumbass Nico Harrison, gets lucky. I was so mad. I'm not even a Mavs fan. I was so mad watching him smile on the screen when they drafted Cooper Flagg last night. I'm just like, this guy shouldn't have gotten away with this. Like, not that he got away with it, but it's just, you got so lucky that this pick fell into his lap and you get Cooper Flagg right after you make the most disastrous trade in NBA history.
Yeah, Nico doesn't deserve any of that, but Mavericks and the fan base do. So that worked out. Because Cooper Flagg has a couple years to develop. Well, AD and Kyrie kind of do their thing. They're set up to win right now with Lively and Gafford also. It's like, great spot for Cooper Flagg, like, on the positive note.
Yeah.
Because, like, doesn't have to be the guy.
Not arguing that,
Doesn't have to be the guy on a shitty team like a Washington or a New Orleans, you know. And then, sure, you're putting up numbers, but your team sucks. But, so you got room to develop. That's awesome for him. But yeah, fuck Nico and weaseling his way into this, basically.
And yeah, that's like my only thing about it. It's just like, it's a great landing spot for Fleck. Happy for Mavs fans too. I'm like, yeah, what y'all went through, like, Mavs fans deserves this.
But yes,
the fact that Nico gets this after doing that is just, and it's never going to sit well with me. And yeah, that just pisses me off. Seeing his stupid face, I was just like, fuck this guy.
And the last little bit, you hit it on the KD trade to Houston. Great move for, I think, both parties there, Phoenix and Houston.
I mean, Houston was the two seed this last year and didn't have to give away like their best two players in this trade. Like, still got Amon Thompson and Shane Goon, and gave away what's his name, Jalen Green, who's wildly inconsistent right now. So, like, okay, whatever. And I mean, Dylan Phoenix Brooks dumps that and gets 5 second round picks, whatever that's worth. So good on both parties there, because now Houston can compete next year. Because Kevin Durant, I mean, sure, you say what you want, but he had one of the best years of his career last year. I mean, he's still a great scorer and super efficient.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Houston needs. They just didn't have a guy. Like, you look at their how they went out against Golden State, is like, you just didn't have a guy down the stretch of games that you, when you needed to get a bucket, would go get you one, and Durant fills that need. So, yeah, good moves for them. Good for Mavs fans getting flagged. Nothing really super else interesting, I thought, on the draft last night other than the BYU kid, Igor Denham, going like 8th.
Oh,
That was like the big shock kind of move in the top 10, early, at least. But
the Nets had five first round picks.
Yeah, the Nets loading up on. They're like, you know what?
Oklahoma now, like, City, four of them were from 19 on, but still kind of crazy. I love what Utah did with getting Ace Bailey and Walker Clayton Jr.
Yeah, good moves for them. The whole Ace Bailey thing was like kind of interesting to see where he was going to fall. He was turning down workouts. Seemed like he wanted to go to Brooklyn or he wanted to go to Washington, kind of stay in that area instead, like the Jazz draft him. So that'll be that'll be funny. But yeah, nothing too interesting. There wasn't any big trades. Usually draft night's not always seems like it's going to be chaotic, and then it's not. Other moves that the Boston Celtics have kind of dumped. They dumped Drew Holiday. They dumped Kevin Porzingis to try to get Kristaps Porzingis.
I like that, though. He looks like a Kevin Porzingis.
He's Kevin in Atlanta. He's Kristaps in Boston, but he's just like Kevin Porzingis in Atlanta. So Boston making some moves.
They had to, though. They don't have the money to pay that team anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had to get under the apron, and they were able to do so with those moves. Still, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting offseason with like what we've talked about in the East, teams trying to position themselves to make a run. You know, there's not a huge free agent class this year, so I think a lot of people are talking about there being a lot of trades and stuff going on that's going to cause this offseason to be a pretty crazy one. So kind of got kickstarted with the Kevin Durant trade and some of the Boston Celtics trades that they've been making. So it'll be interesting to see what other moves are made in this offseason. And so for our last beer, we're cracking one open for another crazy move that was on the diamond. And this one's really just for me to get mad for a little bit. So, yeah. So what, last week, you know, you're expecting NBA trades because, you know, it's kind of the NBA offseason era. You know, Kevin Durant, will he be traded at any moment? And we're on my way to my dad's. I think it was Father's Day, and get a text from Dustin. I haven't even like paid attention to my phone, and it's Rafael Devers has been traded from the Boston Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants. I'm like, what the heck did we just do? We just swept the New York Yankees. We're playing our best baseball as we've had all season. Things were kind of starting to look up. You brought on some of your younger guys. You called up Roman Anthony. You've called up Marcelo Mayer. Like, all right, like this is the team. And then all of a sudden you trade Rafael Devers, who's kind of the last bit of that 2018 World Series team. Now all Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, and Rafael Devers are all in the NL West, and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Red Sox, like I'm trying to hang on. The Red Sox to me are like, it's the one franchise that I've been a fan of for the longest. That's not like Texas Tech. It's the one professional franchise that I am a fan of the team. I'm mostly a player fan, so I follow those people, like LeBron, like Patrick Mahomes. But in baseball, it's always been the Red Sox for me, and they've been really hurting my feelings a lot lately, Dustin. Ever since they traded my favorite player in Mookie Betts, it's been rough. It's been rough out here. Traded Mookie Betts, got absolutely fucking nothing for him. Trade Chris Sale last year. What did Chris Sale go on to do? Win the Cy Young in the NL, got really nothing back for him either. And in the Rafael Devers trade, you got nothing really back for him either. You got some pitchers who can barely stay in the minor leagues. So out of all these players that you've gotten, you know, that were great players who you know, Rafael Devers, you just signed last year to a 10-year, $300 million contract. And then this year you sign Alex Bregman, who plays the same position as Rafael Devers, which was kind of bizarre. Now, Bregman is a way better third baseman than Rafael Devers is, but Rafael Devers is one of the best hitters in baseball. And so there's just a lot of different things that I don't like from the Red Sox in this particular transaction. Seems very odd. Also, Bregman's on like a 1 year, or it's like on a 2 year deal with a player option this year. So like, if you don't sign him and he goes somewhere else, like this will be a total disaster. So pretty baffling move. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I'm not going to compare it to the Luka Doncic thing, but it's, you know, it's kind of like a level below, because Rafael Devers is a great baseball player, players who helped win you a World Series. And just to trade him like that out of nowhere was pretty wild to watch. So another just baffling, disappointing move from the Red Sox. And it's just hard because they're supposed to be like up there with the Yankees and the Dodgers and competing and getting players. And instead we treat the ownership treats the Red Sox like they're the Tampa Bay Rays now. It's like, we got money. We spend, keep these players. There's no way Mookie Betts should be in a Dodgers uniform. He should still be in a Red Sox uniform. And same with Devers, same with Bogarts. And instead, you know, we got some young players that are exciting, but it's like, do I get excited about them or do I just wait for us to trade them in like 4 or 5 years? So I don't know. Fucking annoying. And every year I get a little less enthusiastic about them.
Yeah, as you should. It's a weird mismanagement over the last almost decade of what they're doing with these major stars when you're in a massive market and massive baseball team market.
Oh, yeah. And you, yeah, and that stadium's filled like every single game. Like, it's ridiculous.
So, yeah, it sucks for Red Sox fans when they're doing this and not getting anything back for it either.
Yeah, like,
that's, you're not thing. Doing what the Marlins or the I don't know who else is trying to do that stupid stuff right now, but quite a few teams do.
The Astros do that every year. That's what they would do.
Yeah. So they'd be like, well, we can't win with one or two guys, so let's trade them and try to get 3, 4, 5, 6 guys. And they would. And it's worked for some teams, but especially if you're one of these teams like Red Sox that is a major market, major team market, and you should be profiting a lot more money.
Yeah.
It would benefit you way more to win.
Yeah. To be in the mix every year.
And win more than you are, yeah.
And, yeah, the last few years we've been terrible. We haven't really even been close. And this year was supposed to be a year where you were kind of getting back into that competing to make the playoffs. And this year hasn't gone the way that you wanted it to. But, you know, Devers isn't blameless in this. But at the same time, like, what the stuff that's come out from the management on this is like, they asked him to play first base, and he was like, I'll play first base, but if I'm playing first base, I'm playing first base. I'm not going back and forth. And the organization was like, we don't know about that. So then they made him a DH like last minute. And so now he's thinking, I'm just going to be a DH. I'm just going to focus on hitting. And then they're like, and then Tristan Casas, our first baseman, gets hurt. So they're like, hey, you want to play first base again? Or want to try to play? And he's like, no, y'all told me that I'm going to DH. Y'all didn't want me to just be the first baseman at the start of the year. So, like, I get his argument on it all. It's like, hey, this is what I want. And if they're not able to meet those small demands for a guy you're paying $300 million over the next 10 years, then all right. So,
very silly, yes.
Very silly. So, now I guess I'll be a Roman Anthony fan for the next few years until we decide to trade him, too, or let him walk in free agency. You never know.
Probably. So, when's he going to get traded? 27, 28? Yeah, 28 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. So good 3 years of him.
Yeah. We'll get 3 years of him. And it'll be his like best year, will be the year before. And they'll be like, oh, yeah. Really, oh, yeah. Get the trade market going. And then, boom, gone. And then now we'll have nobody. So, great move, Red Sox management. Killing my fandom over here. So, I wanted to talk about that. That's our final six That's our sixth beer for our six pack, but you know, we feeling good about tonight. So we're going to have a little extra shot because Dustin's got something that he wants to talk about. So Dustin, I'm going to kick it over to you for our final shot of the night.
Yeah, we mentioned Women's College World Series earlier. Now it did better numbers. Men's College World Series also happened about last week. And something that's always bugged me for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years especially is the Rocco's Jello Shot contest.
Yeah.
Rocco's Bar or whatever they're called in Omaha. Now, some of this, it's $5 for a Jello Shot. Great move here. You know, they have a board with all the teams trying to compete against, fan bases compete against each other. Great idea.
Yeah, lots of and fun. Like, lots of fun to see, like, the Twitter posts of the
$1.50 of that goes to two different charities. So, like, great for the charity aspect as well. Where I get upset is these numbers are freaking outrageous.
Yeah.
Now, the numbers this year, relatively reasonable, except for one team.
LSU.
LSU was over 40,000 Jello shots. That's not the that's not how much they paid. That's individual Jello shots. Everybody else was under 10,000. And I'm like, hey, those actually, that looks like that could be doable.
Yeah. There's where no way they're
40 yeah. plus thousand. There's no way they are physically making that many. Actually giving those to patrons and those patrons taking that many.
There's no like, yeah,
physical way. And there's never like videos of this either. You know,
yeah, we never just see the board. Anything. Yeah. You never see like everybody in the bar taking a Jello shot at the same time.
And I get like, if you want to be like, hey, I want to boost LSU's numbers. Can I donate $1,000 and we call it that many Jello shots?
Yeah.
That I guarantee you that happens a ton to boost these numbers up. There needs to be a separate board for donations.
Yeah.
Make it a separate board. There's a donation board. Boom. $1,000 on the LSU board. And can we get actually 12 real Jello shots for that $1,000? Like 20 Jello shots. Like, you got to split it up if it's going to get stupid like this and you're lying about it.
Yeah, there's no way there's 40,000 Jello shots actually passed out to LSU fans. And then, and like, 40,000 is a lot, but then you got to put all the other schools' numbers in there as well. And it's like, that's a ridiculous amount of Jello shots. There's no way. There's no way that they're making that many or people taking that many. Because one, they'd get shut down as a bar for overserving. Two, that's mainly.
There's no way they're physically making that many either.
Yeah, there's no way that we'd run out of Jello in this world. And there's just no freaking way that they're making that many. I really need Texas Tech baseball to figure it the fuck out, which it doesn't seem like we're going to.
Investigate.
Because like we were talking about this, we need to go investigate. There's a Tailgate Talks investigation report. Yeah. So I need Texas Tech to get back to the College World Series so we have a chance to go and we can try to compete in this challenge. But with Pompey hitting the portal and baseball sucking lately, it doesn't seem like things are going to get any better there. So. I just have to go out there one time just to go.
I just want to keep making more awareness that this Rocco's Jello Shot challenge is a scam.
It's a scam. Fraudulent.
It's not. Fraudulent. That's not a scam. The numbers are fictitious.
Fudged. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If they are making that, I need to see that. I need to see that.
Yeah. Where do you? They don't have freezer space for all that either.
I don't know. So we need to do some
logistically doesn't work. All right.
So we need to go investigate. This is what Pablo Torre needs to find out.
Yeah.
What this is. This is the important stuff. This is the stuff that keeps us up at night. So, but yeah, wanted to talk about that. That's something that we always find interesting. Every college baseball World Series is the Jello shot challenge. Also, Arizona, pretty lame job by you guys.
They ended up okay though.
They ended up okay, but they're very brutal.
Started weak.
Started terrible. Disappointing for one big fan, 12 fan base to another. Just come on, you got to step it up a little bit. But all right, well, that will do it for our summer six pack for this week. We will, who knows when we'll be back. It's summer. There's not a lot happening. If there's not a lot of sports topics, enough sports topics to get us to six, we might not be on for a few weeks. So just kind of. hang in there with us as we get through these summer months where there's very few things happening, but we'll be back when there's news worth talking about. So enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your Cotton Fest tailgates. I know Dustin will be at one.
Yeah.
And we will catch you all at the next tailgate. Peace.